While I was preparing for this week's Torah portion, I tried to think of the most stubborn man or woman that I've ever met. There are a couple that stood out pretty good, one man and one woman in particular. There's only one person in this room who knows exactly who those people are. Right? Right. Did either of these compare to Pharaoh Ramses' stubbornness? They didn't even come close. Today's parasha is Exodus 6:2 through 9:35, and it is a lesson to all of us that our Lord God is more powerful, loving, and capable than any other. He has and he can freed us, delivered us, redeem us, and take us and guide us to a purposeful, everlasting life. Our journey to our promised land will not be easy, just as the journey of our forefathers from a long time ago was not easy. God told Moses to go to Pharaoh and tell him to free God's people so they could worship him and go live in the land that God had promised to them. When Moses first approached Pharaoh, God turned Aaron's staff into a snake. Pharaoh had his magicians do the same with their staffs. That was a typo. But the snake produced by God ate up all the sorcerer's snakes. That alone should have made Pharaoh think a lot about God's power. But his stubbornness took over, and he would not let God's people go. God showed his wonderful grace, even to Pharaoh, by giving him more chances to obey and let his people go. But God knew in advance that Pharaoh was not going to obey him. He knew that this lesson needed to be taught to all of us and all the people for then and for the future, including us. So God sent several plagues to Pharaoh and the Egyptians, and they went like this. Blood. All the surface water in the area turned to blood. Every creek, river, pond, lake, and even the vessels that they used to carry water, all of it became blood. Thirst is agonizing after a couple of days, and you can't drink blood. Pharaoh's sorcerers were no help. They could cause more of the water to turn to blood, and that was with Satan's help, but they couldn't turn the blood into water. The people discovered that they could get a little drinking water by digging at the riverbank, so they survived. Pharaoh's heart was hardened further. Next was frogs. So what's the big deal? A few cute little hoppy frogs bouncing around? No. Just walking from here in this building to your car, you would step on and squish dozens of frogs. You couldn't avoid them. The people couldn't eat without frogs jumping onto their cooking pots and onto their plates. They couldn't sleep with the slimy little creatures crawling on their faces and under their covers, and maybe even sitting there on their toothbrushes. Eventually, the frogs all died, except for the ones in the river. People made huge piles of stinking, rotting frogs. If this was just a story and it wasn't happening to you, it might seem funny. But if it was happening to me, it would make me crazy. Next is lice. Imagine you're driving down a hot, dusty road in the summertime, and it's a dirt road. Now look in your rearview mirror and see the huge billows of dust. Now imagine every speck of that dust is lice. Every particle of dirt in front of you, in back of you, on the sides of you, and everywhere you go is lice. If you decide to roll your window down or open your door, millions of lice would cover you from head to foot. This time, Pharaoh's magicians couldn't duplicate the plague. And that's a good thing, because when you've already got trillions of lice, why do you need any more? So I think this plague would have broken down most of the stubborn people, but not Pharaoh. His heart was hardened again, and he wouldn't let God's people go so that they could serve God. This is even though Moses warned him of the next plague, which was coming the next day, if Pharaoh didn't wake up and come to the party, like my dad used to say. flies. With this plague, God distinguishes between the Jews, God's people, and the Egyptians. No flies would infest the land of Goshen, where the Israelis were. All of the flies, and there were billions of them, would go to Pharaoh's house and to Pharaoh's people in the rest of Egypt. You know how flies can be extremely irritating. They try to go in your mouth, and they try and fly up your nose, and they go in your ears, and they sit on your food, and they lay their disgusting maggots, if they can, on you or in your food, and they're infested with germs. I do not believe that there are any flies in heaven. Pharaoh seemed to lighten up a bit after this plague, so he told Moses and Aaron that they could leave on a 3-day journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord, our God, as God commanded them. So Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. That we find in Exodus 8:30. Moses interceded for Pharaoh with the Lord, and all the flies went away. Not one remained. So this Pharaoh proves to be a seriously stubborn person who goes back on his word. He would not let God's people go even yet. Pestilence. This is next. God brought a severe illness down on the livestock of Egypt. The next day, all the livestock of Egypt died, and none of the livestock of the Jews died. This Pharaoh guy was so used to getting his way that he didn't give in to God's orders through Moses. God is supreme. He could have just caused all the Egyptians, including Pharaoh, to die. Then God's people could have escaped their slavery and gone on to serve God peacefully. But he didn't do that. But why not? God was teaching the people there and us today about his grace and his might. Our God is good. His grace to all of us who don't deserve it is tremendous. Let's accept his pardons. Go with God and your life will be better. God warned Pharaoh just as a father warns his unruly children. He tells them, look here, I'm in charge. You have to do what I tell you. If you don't, there will be punishment. That's my child right there. He does. Sometimes unruly children will test their father. I taught him to do that. But it's not a good idea for us to do with our Heavenly Father. Next is boils. The next plague the Egyptian had to withstand was boils. Ugly, nasty sores that broke out all over their bodies. The boils were so bad that Pharaoh's magicians couldn't even stand up to try to duplicate the plague. Another good thing. Why make it worse again? Hail and fire. God issues a warning about the next plague, which was to be a huge hailstorm accompanied by lightning causing fire. It was to be the biggest storm that Egypt had ever seen. God told them, gather up everything and your servants and anything else that might be out in the open, because if you don't, they will all die. Some of the Egyptians just shrugged it off and didn't listen because they and their animals were killed by the fierce storm. Thankfully, we have Yeshua as our shelter. We are spared from the hailstorms in our lives by placing ourselves in his hands. We get needlessly pelted and pounded when we ignore the Lord's table. When we go it alone rather than joining the company of believers for times of instruction and worship, praise and prayer. When we fail to seek our shelter in Jesus. Pharaoh's heart remained hardened, and he still did not let God's children go. But he didn't win. This lesson goes on into next week. Please stay tuned. Dear Lord, thank you for teaching us each week with your precious Torah. What happened long ago is a perfect map for how we should behave today. We thank you for your shelter from life's trials, tribulations, and plagues. Our existence on this earth would be pointless without you. Amen. Shabbat shalom.